Hello and welcome to Vox Talks, a series of audio interviews with leading economists from around the world. I'm Viv Davis, it's the 4th of April 2014, and today's interview is with Diane Coyle, Managing Director of Enlightenment Economics. I met Diane at the annual conference of the Royal Economic Society in Manchester, where we discussed her recent Vox column that considers the arguments for paying less attention to GDP and more attention to alternative indicators of welfare and sustainability. I began the interview by asking Diane to provide a brief overview of her work in this area.
Yes, the column was picking up on one of the aspects I discussed in my recent book about GDP, looking at why people criticise it so much. What is it failing to do that they want it to do? And are the alternatives that some critics have suggested good ones, or is there something better that we can use instead?
And what did you find? What alternatives did you look at?
Well, the most frequent criticism made is that GDP doesn't take account of the fact that some of the things added up are bad things, actually. So the cost of policing, the cost of repairing buildings after a natural disaster, the cost of polluting, all of those actually increase GDP and economic growth. So they're treated as if they're good for society, but actually we know that they're bad things for society. And it's often therefore proposed to adjust GDP always downwards by taking out some of these bad things. So there's something called the Index of Sustainable Economic Welfare, and there are various other alternatives that have been suggested. There are also well-known alternatives to GDP, like the Human Development Index, which takes GDP per capita but adds in other things that count for human development, like access to clean water, life expectancy, and
opportunity,
things of that kind. And there are two troubles with that let's just adjust GDP downwards for bad things approach. One is that GDP actually leaves out lots of good things. It doesn't measure things that increase human well-being, particularly innovation and the variety of new goods and products, new products and services in modern economies. It's a mass assembly age statistic, if you like.
How do you measure that sort of innovation and benefits?
Well, it's done very badly. And the point is that innovation increases consumer surplus, but it doesn't, at any rate, immediately translate into marketed activities which will show up in money GDP. And the statisticians do try to make some adjustments to reflect it, particularly with harmonised price indices. So the computer that you buy today might cost the same as one that you bought 2 years ago, but it'll have a lot more features. It might have a webcam or Wi-Fi built in and so on, better screens. So for goods like that, they will calculate a price index that reflects the quality improvements and use that price index to work out how much real GDP has changed. But it never actually captures all the benefits of innovation. And the example I like to give is from a programme shown in 2000 called the 1900 House. And the programme makers took a nice middle-class family back to live as they would have a century earlier. And of course the woman of the household, and it was definitely the woman, had to heat up hot water from scratch to wash the clothes once a week and make her own paste to get them clean and, you know, spent actually 3 or 4 days doing the laundry, cook all the food from scratch and so on. But the thing that nearly made her give up the experiment and walk out was that she couldn't get her hair clean because shampoo hadn't been invented. So they wouldn't let her buy shampoo. So these benefits, even from seemingly quite trivial things, actually add up to a huge increase in consumer welfare over time. And for me, that's the essence of what capitalist growth is all about. It's that innovation. And so GDP is not capturing that perfectly either. But we want to recognise that there are these welfare effects that are separate from measuring economic activity. Policymakers are always going to need GDP or something very similar to do macroeconomic policy. And I think a better approach than a single index, which takes some things off and adds some things in, is to look at the things that affect welfare separately. This is the approach recommended by the Sen-Stiglitz-Fitoussi Commission that reported in France a couple of years ago. It's setting up a dashboard of things that policymakers ought to pay attention to. And that would include environmental indicators. It would include things that we know decrease people's well-being, like having very long commute times or noise in their immediate environment. It might include work-life balance issues. And the advantage is that it makes very clear the trade-offs. Obviously, income per capita probably won't go up so much if you're taking more leisure time and getting a better work-life balance. So there are trade-offs between these things. And rather than put them all together in one combined index, have a look at the dashboard and understand what policy trade-offs there are.
Diane Coyle, thanks very much.
Thank you.